Hello and welcome to Science World. The folks at CERN have taken care of that little glitch that delayed the reinitiation of its Large Hadron Collider. Philip Alexiou will tell us more on the restart of the world's largest atom smasher. Could a key cough syrup ingredient make a new diabetes treatment possible? Doug Bernard will have a report by Jessica Berman. And graphene has been touted as the wonder material of the 21st century. It's the world's lightest and strongest substance, has a wide range of unique properties, and the potential applications for this wonder material are numerous. We'll talk with a Caltech scientist about a new manufacturing process that might make it easier and faster to produce this wonder material. We'll have these stories and more on today's edition of VOA Science, Health, and Technology magazine, Science World. Treatments that effectively cure the lethal viral illness hepatitis C are available, but they're extremely expensive. Jessica Berman reports that researchers have discovered a cheap, inexpensive allergy medicine that can treat hepatitis C.
Chlorcyclazine, HCL, is an antihistamine that's been around for a half century to treat allergy symptoms. But researchers at the U.S. National Institutes of Health have found that chlorcyclazine and drugs in its class may effectively treat hepatitis C as well. The discovery about chlorcyclazine was made using a cell-based high-throughput screening method. The technique analyzes thousands of government-approved compounds quickly for their effectiveness against viral and bacterial infections. The research is published in the journal Science Translational Medicine. Chlorcyclazine and similar repurposed drugs treat hepatitis C by blocking the virus so it cannot infect liver cells. Jake Liang is chief of the liver diseases branch at NIH's National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases near Washington, D.C., where the discovery was made.
The virus continues to infect new cells as the infection goes on. So our thought is that if we can prevent or disrupt that reinfection process, the infected cell will die eventually, and then you won't have any more infected cells.
Hepatitis C is spread through sexual contact or infected blood products. It can lead to liver failure, cancer, and cirrhosis or hardening of the liver. Millions of people around the world carry the hepatitis C virus or are ill because of it. Liang notes effective treatments are now available.
But the current drugs against HCV are expensive, have side effects, and associated with drug resistance. Also, these drugs are only active against certain HCV strains. So in light of these issues, I think there's still unmet needs in the treatment of hepatitis C.
The price tag for current hepatitis C drugs is approximately $84,000 for a 12-week course. In contrast, chlorcyclazine costs around 50 cents per pill. Researchers' next step is to determine a therapeutic dose of the antihistamine for treatment of hepatitis C. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
After a technical glitch forced a two-week delay, scientists at CERN were finally able to restart its Large Hadron Collider this past week. Science World's Philip Alexiou tells us more.
Scientists at the European Center for Nuclear Research on Sunday restarted their Big Bang Large Hadron Collider, embarking on a bid to probe into the dark universe they believe lies beyond the visible one. CERN reported that particle beams were successfully shot through the collider's 27-kilometer tunnel, located beneath the Swiss-French border near Geneva. The LHC was instrumental in the discovery of the Higgs boson, a subatomic particle that had long been theorized but never confirmed until 2013. It was shut down 2 years ago for a major upgrade described as a Herculean task that doubled its power and its reach into the unknown. Scientists hope to see all sorts of new physics, including a first-ever glimpse of dark matter during the collider's second run. For Science World, I'm Philip Alexio.
Scientists at Carnegie Mellon University and the University of North Carolina have built a small, wearable addition to ordinary shoes that makes walking easier. George Putich reports.
Burning less calories while walking seems like a bad idea, but making the walk easier may actually get people on their feet longer, and that, scientists say, has substantial health benefits. Analyzing the human walk, biomedical engineers Stephen Collins and Greg Sawicki concluded that our ankles and calves perform motions similar to a spring coupled with a clutch that intermittently stores and releases energy. Sawicki spoke to VOA via Skype.
We found in basic science experiments that that system, your calf and Achilles tendon, works a lot like a catapult. So the muscle holds on to the tendon and your body actually stretches your Achilles tendon quite a bit and then stores energy in the tissue and then it's given back to you to propel you forward in the world.
Sawicki says he and his colleague Stephen Collins at Carnegie Mellon University designed a mechanical device made of carbon fiber and metal that does the same sequence of energy give and take outside the body. The system takes over part of the work of walking and reduces the amount of required energy by as much as 7%. Wearing the unpowered ankle exoskeleton can help people either walk farther with the same amount of energy or restore the normal movement pattern for people who have trouble walking. Sawicki says it takes only a few minutes to get used to the exoskeleton, but the wearer quickly learns to tone down the muscle energy as the device takes over part of the load.
You really don't notice it until then you take it off. And when you take it off, you realize that it was there and giving you a boost.
Sawicki says it is primarily intended for people recovering from surgery or a stroke, but all persons who spend a lot of time walking, such as police officers or hospital personnel, could benefit from it. At the moment, there are no plans to develop the ankle exoskeleton for the market, but the inventors say some manufacturers have expressed interest. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
New research could change the way breast cancer is treated. Carol Pearson reports the findings could make treatment more successful and extend the lives of breast cancer patients.
When Shante Thomas was first diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer, it came as a complete shock.
Am I going to die? I mean, honestly, I mean, that's the first thing you think.
With the right treatment, many women can expect to beat the disease. But with more than 50 drugs to choose from, it's hard for doctors to know which ones will work. Another problem, drugs used to fight cancer are highly toxic, and they kill healthy cells along with the cancerous ones.
Aloxi, you're a thymosin medicine?
Right now, choosing the right drug is a guessing game, but it may not always be. Researchers at Vanderbilt University are using lasers to study tumor particles called organoids. Alex Walsh spoke to VOA by Skype.
Organoids are small pieces of tumor that we grow in a petri dish, and they're about 100 to 300 micrometers in diameter.
They're microscopic. When given a collagen gel, the cancer cells grow as they would inside a human body. They are naturally fluorescent. So when the researchers add a cancer-fighting drug, they can tell how well the drug works by measuring the amount of fluorescence. Professor Melissa Scala is the lead researcher.
Our idea was to try to eliminate toxicities from ineffective treatments and then use drugs that are more effective in treating breast cancer.
Scala spoke via Skype. She says the hope is to ultimately improve the survival of breast cancer patients.
We know a lot of breast cancer patients initially respond to their therapy and then later their tumor starts to grow and they succumb to their disease.
Scala says the next step is to see if doctors can accurately predict which drugs will work in advance of a patient getting treatment. The hope is that this type of targeted therapy could be available to breast cancer patients in 5 to 10 years. Then people like Shante Thomas won't automatically think a diagnosis of breast cancer is a death sentence. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
It's time for this week's Science World Quick Quiz. As you just heard, the Large Hadron Collider was fired up for its second run this week. How long do CERN scientists expect this new run to last? Is it A, 1 year, B, 3 years, or C, 5 years? Think about it. We'll have the correct answer in a few minutes from now.
You're listening to Science World on VOA. You can also find us on the Internet. Our new webpage and blog can be found at voanews.com/science.
The Obama administration released a report this week on the health impacts of higher temperatures, extreme weather, and precipitation changes, which have all been linked to climate change. Steve Barragona reports.
Hotter days are making air pollution worse. That means more asthma attacks, according to U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy.
More asthma attacks mean more days of school missed. They mean more days of work missed. They mean more costly trips to the doctor. And they most importantly mean more scary moments for parents and for children.
Murthy and President Barack Obama met with experts at Howard University Hospital in Washington to highlight a new administration report on the many ways climate change threatens health. It says more extreme weather causes flooding that overwhelms water and sewer systems, spreading the risk of disease. And President Obama noted that mosquitoes and other insects are carrying diseases into new areas.
There are a whole host of public health impacts that are going to hit home.
The administration also released large sets of government data intended to help researchers find ways to respond to the threats. The president aims to keep the focus on the hazards of climate change as he rolls out a contentious proposal to regulate carbon emissions from power plants. Critics say it will wreck the U.S. economy, but Mr. Obama sees it differently.
And recognize that the costs of inaction are even higher than the costs of action.
But the president faces an uphill climb to convince skeptics, many of whom are lawmakers. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
Brian Padden talked with the mayor of Seoul about how investments in green technology are paying off and how he is working with neighboring cities to prevent toxic dust from blowing in across the border.
The Mapo Resource Recovery Facility in Seoul converts 750 tons of trash a day into electricity, produces the equivalent of 41,000 barrels of oil a year, and uses a system of filters to capture most of the carbon gases produced in the burning process. It is just one of the projects Seoul is highlighting as it hosts the world's largest climate change conference focusing on city governments. Seoul's mayor Park Won-soon says these eco-friendly investments are good for the environment, the economy, and the 10 million people living in the city.
I think it brings more incentives that have helped us recover our health and improve our quality of life. This also works as a philosophical base for our policy.
A decade ago, the Chonggye Stream Project restored the waterway that runs through the city, making it a tourist attraction that also acts to slightly moderate heat during the summer. In the modern glass-enclosed City Hall building that critics say looks like a tsunami wave, plants line the walls to create oxygen. Solar panels on the ceiling produce renewable energy, and the Seoul Resource Center provides jobs, reduces city landfills, and recoups much of its operating costs by selling salvaged parts from discarded electronic waste. Mayor Park says Seoul is working to export its expertise and technologies to other cities facing environmental problems.
We have been developing various know-hows and techniques through the process of resolving such problems. I think it is very important to share these with various countries around the world.
Despite the reduced local pollution, a toxic mix of desert dust and factory smog often hits Seoul when the winds blow in from China. The Seoul mayor says he reached out to 13 cities in China and Mongolia to help them curb pollution and erosion in the region.
If these things progress, I think various ways will be prepared to tackle erosion and global warming by the international common effort.
There is much cities like Seoul can do to limit the effect of climate change, but the mayor says no city can do it alone in this interconnected world. Brian Padden, VOA News, Seoul.
An active ingredient found in common cough medicine has been shown to reduce blood sugar levels in both humans and mice. Science World's Doug Bernard has this report by Jessica Berman.
Dextromethorphan is an agent in many cough syrups and cold tablets that suppresses coughs. This ingredient also lowers blood sugar levels in people with both type 1 and type 2 diabetes by protecting insulin-producing beta cells. While not a cure for diabetes, Eckhard Lammert, a professor of physiology and director of the Diabetes Center in Dusseldorf, Germany, and his colleagues have found that dextromethorphan lowers blood sugar levels in mice.
We also did a single-dose clinical trial with 20 individuals with type 2 diabetes and could see in these individuals that dextromethorphan is able to lower blood glucose levels similar to what we see in mice.
Insulin is a hormone that helps cells absorb glucose for fuel. If beta cells don't produce enough insulin, dangerous and destructive levels of sugar can build up in the blood, leading to serious complications, including blindness and kidney failure. Type 1 diabetes is caused by a misdirected immune system, destroying insulin-producing beta cells. It affects roughly 10% of all diabetics. Much more common, and a growing health problem worldwide, is type 2, or adult-onset diabetes. People with this condition have insulin resistance, meaning their cells of their bodies become unable to absorb the amount of sugar in their blood. The body uses sugar, or glucose, for fuel. Lammert says dextromethorphan reduces blood sugar levels by around 10%. It's tempting to buy cough medicine and give it a try, but Lammert says the use of dextromethorphan is experimental, discouraging the use of cough medicine by people in an effort to treat their diabetes.
This is something we do not want to see because, first, we only have a single-dose clinical trial so far and preclinical data. They make us optimistic, but they are not sufficient to now recommend anyone to self-medicate.
Eventually, Lammert says dextromethorphan may be used as an add-on to standard diabetes medicine, such as metformin. The study was published in the journal Nature Medicine. For Science World, I'm Doug Bernard.
So, do you think you have the correct answer for this week's Science World Quick Quiz? Well, let's find out. CERN's giant atom smasher, the Large Hadron Collider, was fired up for its second run this week. How long do CERN scientists expect this new run to last? Is it A, 1 year, B, 3 years, or C, 5 years? The answer is B. The recently restarted LHC is set for another 3-year run, which is scheduled to last until 2018. The Atom Smasher's first 3-year run began in 2010, ended in 2013, and was then shut down for 2 years while CERN technicians and engineers made repairs and upgrades. Thanks for playing along with us on this week's Science World Quick Quiz. We'll have another brain teaser for you again next week.
Thanks for listening to VOA Science, Health, and Technology News Magazine, Science World. Be sure to visit our new website and blog at voanews.com/science.
Have you heard about a new substance called graphene? If not, you'll soon be hearing a lot about what has been touted by many as the wonder material of the 21st century. Graphene is the lightest and strongest material that can be found on Earth. Along with those attributes, graphene also has a number of other amazing properties that can't be duplicated in other substances. Future products made with graphene could include very thin and flexible TVs, tablets, and cell phones, as well as smart clothing that will be able to keep you warm on cold days or cool on warm days. But for graphene to reach its full potential, the material's manufacturing process will need to be simplified and made more efficient. A new process developed by scientist David Boyd and his colleagues at the California Institute of Technology could make graphene production faster and at a much cooler temperature than is currently being used. Professor Nai Chang Ye is the corresponding author of a new study that outlines this new manufacturing process. She joins us today for our one-on-one segment to talk about graphene and how the new production process may help lead the wonder material to its full potential. What is graphene?
Graphene is a single atomic layer of carbon sheet, and the sheet itself consists of very tiny honeycomb structures. They are periodic, so they form so-called honeycomb lattice structure. The unique thing is it's one atomic layer thick.
Why is graphene considered to be a wonder material, and what makes it so unique from others?
It has lots of unique properties that it has a combination of unique properties that do not exist in most other materials. It's just a collection of special properties. And so, for instance, it has extremely strong mechanical properties, actually about 200 times that of steel. And you think that single atomic sheet, how could it be so strong? It's indeed very, very strong. The tensile strength is 200 times stronger than steel. And it has very interesting electronic properties. For instance, its electrical mobility, which is a measure of how easily electrons can move in a material, the electrical mobility is nearly three orders of magnitude higher than that of silicon. And you know silicon is widely used for electronics. So you think about the electrical mobility of graphene as like, you know, almost 1,000 times better. And also they have another very interesting property, that is, electrons that are moving on graphene are effectively without a mass, similar to light traveling through vacuum. Although the velocity of electrons is probably 300 times slower than speed of light, but they move as if they're massless materials. And that's because of the collective behavior of the entire structures and the electronic properties that gives rise to that special effect. These sheets can carry very high density of the electrical current, also an excellent heat conductor. So there are all these unique properties that coexist in one material. That's why people call it a wonder material.
So tell us about this new process that you and your colleague, David Boyd, have developed.
The new technique we discovered was a plasma-enhanced chemical vapor deposition technique, but there was an interesting twist. So what happened was that people always thought growing graphene, you have to grow it on a high-temperature surface. But one time, my colleague, David Boyd, he actually had an interesting discovery that it turns out that when he overheated, he left a copper sheet at high temperatures for sufficiently long time. The technique we have is much better than other people previously developed. So this technique we have, we can grow graphene without any active heating, just blast the plasma on the surface of copper, then letting methane gas, a little bit traces of nitrogen gas, and then graphene can grow very nicely. And the growth is very fast, in a few minutes. It's a one-step growth. We don't have to pre-process or post-process our system. And so the growth is high-quality, large sheet. Right now, we are only restricted by our apparatus size. We don't see any problem of scaling it up to a much larger size. Also, the other nice thing is that this growth process is a guided growth process. We can have graphene grow following the guided tracks on the copper sheet. And so the graphene crystalline structures can actually grow and coalesce into each other and form essentially a single crystal piece. And so there are few defects, very little, and it's very high quality.
Once this process is expanded to where you could make larger sheets of graphene, what kind of commercial applications do you see graphene being used for?
Oh, there are many, many possibilities. For instance, I mentioned the excellent electrical properties of graphene, and also it's one atomic layer. So it's an excellent piece of transparent conducting. You can use it for light-emitting diodes and solar cells, display panels, and now those are very expensive materials, and if you can replace indium tin oxide with large sheets of graphene, that's one application that you can use them as LEDs and photovoltaic cells, and also you can use them for other display panels.
That was Professor Nai Chang Ye from the California Institute of Technology, or Caltech, in Pasadena, California. That's it for this edition of Science World. Thanks so much for listening. Before we go, we'd like to invite you to visit our new website and blog. The address is voanews.com/science. Along with program information, you'll find stories, links, and much more. So stop by and visit us on the internet. Science World has been produced by Bob Doty, and I am Rick Pantaleo. Be sure to join us either online or on your radio next Saturday and Sunday as we check out the latest in science, health, and technology on Science World.